one tuna.
Lemonade.
I didn't know that.
What's up, listeners? Welcome back to another episode of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. We welcome you back here with us again this evening. With me tonight, I have Matt.
Hey, everybody. What's up?
And we also brought Zach back for another exciting
that
episode tonight.
That we did. Zach Attack.
Zach Attack. So tonight, guys, before we get down to business with the podcasting portion, conversation portion of the podcast, we'd like to get some housekeeping announcements. So next week, guys, make sure you tune into our first Christmas episode of December, and we are going to be announcing our December Christmas giveaways. So it's going to be very important that you all pay attention and do what is asked so you can win some sweet prizes. Prizes is in plural. Multiple. Right, Matt?
That is correct. Like, think of it like this. We have Santa's goodie bag. And in this goodie bag, there is just so many goodies.
We do.
Like, yeah, I mean, you guys have got to get glued. You've got to get in the jar, like we always say in our descriptions and on our posts. Get in the jar, because, Jen, I mean, I don't know about you, but, like, I would be stoked. Like, if I got one of these prizes during our Christmas episodes, I mean, listen, everybody, like, we're not going to sugarcoat it, but, like, we have so much of something to give away for you guys, and we're not going to tell you what it is, because you have to literally listen to it. But, literally, just keep listening to our episodes. Interact with us on social media. Don't be afraid to drop us a line at the Gmail account.
GarlicJarMedia@gmail.com.
Yeah. Like, I'm excited. Like, I want you guys to win. And it's literally just us giving it away. We don't care how it's going to be done. We'll ship it to you. We'll freaking airmail it to you. I don't know. I mean, hell. Maybe we'll get an owl, like in Harry Potter style, to freaking deliver it to you. I don't know.
So we will announce the winners on our first episode of season 2, which will come out, we'll probably record it, what, January 2nd, Matt? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to wait after, obviously, New Year's and let everything simmer down.
Because we're
going
to let you guys, you know, get a give you a chance to win the prizes.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. Like, I'm stoked just by myself, but I mean, I'm super stoked for anybody that participates, because again, it's just awesome. You know, it's gonna be totally worth it. And Jen, I know you would freaking love those prizes. Like, the way that you've been carrying on, like, especially with my wife and everything,
no,
like that,
no,
you're
spoilers,
like, oh my God.
No spoilers.
I know. You know? It's like, gimme,
yes.
Gimme, gimme.
Yes. You know? I like I like surprises. Like, a little bit off story here, but do you remember a bunch of episodes ago I talked about the Down to Earth with Zac Efron?
Yes.
So do you remember when they went to Iceland and they were talking about, like, the chocolate factory and, like, they made their own chocolate?
Yeah.
So I ordered the chocolate from Iceland and I'm still patiently waiting for it to get here.
Oh man.
The post office. No, it's not going to melt. It's too cold outside for it to melt.
Okay, that's good.
The post office has it held hostage. It was supposed to be here on Monday, December 1st. And they're like, it's still in transit.
Yeah,
same.
So hopefully it turns up next week, because I would really like to taste that and let you guys know how amazing it is.
Yeah, I would just like to mention that I'm having difficulty waiting for stuff in the mail as well. And I mean, you know, this isn't to get political or anything like that. I mean, I get it. You know, it's a busy season. I mean,
yeah,
this is the holidays.
Everybody's ordering things, so I'm trying to be patient.
I ordered something.
Go
from
ahead,
eBay,
Zach.
And it was shipped from Texas, and it went from Texas to Oregon, and it's been stuck in Oregon ever since.
Great. Well, like, I'm wondering if that's what happened after it cleared customs.
You know, with people being that they're listening to 32 episodes of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show, I mean, I think it's pretty evident that, you know, everybody knows that me, you know, AKA, you know, Dr. Doldrums here, a.k.a. Maddie, you know, I'm a teacher. And I literally ordered my textbooks from the publisher. I'm not going to say what the publisher is or who it is. But I've ordered my textbooks back in October. It was before the 15th. So think about that. That's like 2 weeks right before Halloween. Here I am. I'm still waiting for my textbooks. I never got them. And
like for next semester?
They're literally stuck in transit.
Oh, I probably would have called by now.
Well, I already did last week, and there's it pretty much, you know, this is what they're telling you. It's out of our control. Everything was shipped, and it's in the process of getting to you. Wow. So, I mean, is it just the United States Postal Service? I mean, are things getting a little congested? Is it getting a little hectic? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what to think. But, I mean, when Zach just referenced where he tried ordering something, and here it is now stuck in freaking Oregon. I mean, where's it stuck in? The fucking tree?
It sucks.
I mean, is it at the post office? I don't know.
Because it's my Ahsoka Tano Black Series figure.
Oh, I'd be really pissed. I mean, Jesus, your item's a lot better than mine. And here I am talking about textbooks, and you're wanting Star Wars, baby. Yeah. You know?
I'd be
pissed too, bro. Yep. So, Jen, I mean, the only thing that I could hope that I could tell you, I mean, I hope you get your chocolate before we get our freaking books and Star Wars toys.
Yeah, like, I hope it comes, like, next week, because, remember, like, I couldn't order it in the summer because I didn't want it to melt.
Sure.
So, like, I waited until, like, it hit, like, 30 degrees here. So, I waited some time, and then I'm like, oh, well, if it's just, like, around, like, freezing, I'm like, it's gonna be fine. Like, it's not gonna melt. I don't have to get the, like, hot weather package or whatever and pay an arm and a leg for shipping, but...
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I just want the chocolate. Like, I've literally been waiting since, what was it, July, August to try this chocolate. It's...
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I remember you mentioning this at one point in one of our podcast episodes.
Yeah, Down to Earth with Zac Efron, shout out.
Down to Earth with Zac Efron, yep. So, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, going into our topics tonight, I think we could actually talk about something on the way and something being shipped to us. And hopefully it doesn't take a decade to get to us. Hopefully it's in time for the Christmas episodes coming up.
Yeah,
but, Jen, now I'm nervous. Real quick, yeah, y'all. How about going through the list of topics tonight? I really love when you do this. I just feel like this is your job. This is your baby. Sometimes when I do it, I just don't think I do a good enough job.
Yeah, but sure.
Give us the memo.
Before she does, real quick.
Go ahead, Zach.
I'm just gonna
crack one open there.
There you go.
Oh, look at you.
I just have plain water today, so wait, I can shake the ice.
There we go.
Can you hear the ice shake? There we go.
Oh, wow. That is organic sound effects right there. That kind of sounds like somebody's, like, hitting on the xylophone there.
Yeah.
Like,
you know? Yeah, it's my glass.
Yeah. Well, it's like tippy-toeing.
Mm-hmm. It's, like, my favorite glass. This is actually, like, it used to be a Daisy sour cream, like, back when they used to come in glass containers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. It's my favorite glass.
Yeah, they were
glass.
Pretty cool containers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'm just drinking a beer, and I'm just enjoying a little bit of Jim Beam, a little bit of the fire flavor Same. Tonight. So
there you go.
Yep, so I'm just enjoying it. Zach's chugging along on his Jim Beam over there, too. So, Zach, all I got to tell you is, please drink responsibly.
I am.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try to.
No promises from Matt.
No, there's going to be no problems. We're going to be completely authentic, and we're going to be completely under control tonight. But, Jen, yeah, how about going through some of these topics tonight on our whiteboard or whatever you want to call it, our little Google document?
Yep.
I think we got something cool in store.
So, Matt's going to tell us a little story about something he just ordered. He kind of already did, but we're going to go into a little bit more elaboration. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about a sweet snack that's coming back from, what was it, the 90s, early 2000s?
You know, I'd say like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people have probably already read this on their phone.
Probably.
This week. So, yeah, but we'll reiterate it.
A sequel to a fan favorite movie is going to be in the works.
Totally.
We're going to talk about an anniversary of one of Matt's favorite films. We're going to talk a little bit about a casting that was released for a Metal Gear Solid movie, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then we're going to do a little bit of discussing some HBO Max, because as of recently, this is probably like my new favorite streaming services. So we're going to take you on like a little tour of the Max, talk about some announcements that have been made about the Max this week, and we're going to talk about one of the new shows that were just released, and then we're going to conclude it out with somebody that we've been talking about frequently on the podcast in the past few weeks. There's been there's been some interviews with him because he's promoting one of his other movies, so he has broken his silence about getting his casting role, so we're going to talk a little bit about that.
You know, it kind of sounds like we shall not speak his name. You know, it's kind of like a Voldemort reference here. You
kind
know?
Of, kind of.
Yeah. I see what I just did there? A little tie-in?
Yeah. Close. Wrong character, but close.
Yep.
So why don't you tell us about the candy canes, Sir Matt?
Yes. So listen, because we got Christmas episodes coming up, you know, Jenna and I, we like to brainstorm. We like to think of things. And then, of course, you know, we pass it on to our other peeps, you know, in the garlic jar family. You know, we're just thinking outside the box. You know, we've already had taste tests already happen.
We love them.
We do. You know, if we go back to the peanut butter and pickle sandwich, I mean, everybody remembers that.
That was disgusting.
That was such a cool reaction, though. And you know what? Honestly, like, I just took it like a champ. Like, I was like, you know what? I freaking enjoyed it. I loved it. And then what was it? Like, a week
then
later,
you ate another one, you weirdo. One. Yeah, so we're going to do some Christmas-themed taste tests for you guys in the next two episodes.
And, of course, it relates around what? Candy canes.
Candy canes.
You know? And, you know, that's an important food group, you know, according to the elves in the North Pole. It is. According to the elves in North Pole, you know, there's candy corns, candy canes, and then what else is there? There's candy, there's syrup, and I can't remember the other one. Candy something. But anyway... You know, the candy canes, I think it's so traditional. You know, there's a great history behind. And, you know, you never know. We're probably going to talk about the history of the candy cane before we get into the taste testing.
And spoiler alert, these are not peppermint candy canes.
No. We have, and we're not,
again. I wouldn't reveal the flavors.
We are not going to reveal any flavors. But let us tell you that the flavors are going to get a lot wackier than you think. And you know what? This is where we go a little Wonka on your asses. So, and I love Wonka. You know how, you know, Wonka is my wacky man. He's the wacky boy. I freaking love it. So we're going to go wonky and, you know, Wonka on you guys with these flavors, with these candy canes. Wait until you see what we have in store for you. They are on the way. They're going to be here Thursday, which I'm super stoked. And there better not be a delay on that because I am literally tracking the UPS tracking number on this. And, you know, I mean, if it convinces me where I have got to get in my fucking car to get these candy canes, I will go and I will get them.
See, like, mine, like, says that, like, I don't know how, but my chocolates ended up in Utah, like Zach said, like, Oregon. So but the why? Chocolate ended up, I don't know. It ended up in Utah. And then, because, like, who knows where Customs sent them after they came.
You know, though, it's kind of like what's going, it's kind of like what's going on with us here in Pennsylvania, though. Like, when we send out stuff, right, in the mail, like, if we send out a package or a bubble mailer, the funny thing is that, like, it doesn't go, like, to anywhere, like, central, like, around us, like Scranton or Wilkes-Barre or maybe Hazleton or something like that. It goes all the way out to Lehigh Valley.
And do you know why that is?
No.
Because that's the only, like, sorting facility around. Well, all of the other ones closed.
My God, I mean...
So listen, everything has to go through Lehigh Valley.
Why, of all places? Like, I mean, it's rural. I mean...
Because they built a new facility down there.
Well, get your asses here in Scranton. Let's build one over here in the industrial park. I mean, know. Listen, there's a lot of land up there in Jessup.
I know, but they feel like there's not a need for it. My God,
they're bringing Campbell Soups and freaking Chewy. I mean, Chewy's already back in Archibald there.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You know?
Yep. They just feel that there's not a need for another one, so.
Yeah, well, you know what,
though? Because I think there was one in Scranton and one in Wilkes-Barre, and they closed them both down.
I heard that. You know what? The claim is that there used to be a center right here in Central Hub. It used to be a distribution center, and if you ever looked up tracking numbers, it would go right through Scranton.
Yeah.
And then I think if anywhere else, if it had something to do with going through customs, it had to go to Philadelphia and then be sent out after that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny where now everything goes through Lehigh Valley and then it cycles back and goes right back out to wherever it has to go. You know?
Yippers.
Goddamn iron pigs, you know? Fuck them iron pigs. No, I'm just kidding, guys. No, listen, we know we have a lot of viewers in the PA area, but you know what, though?
Bacon, you're not USA. My...
Yeah, Bacon USA, you know? Go Rail Riders, baby.
There you go.
Shout outs.
Yo, did you see, this is a little off topic, so I'm going to go on a tangent. Did you see that the Yankees have canceled their contracts recently with some of the minor affiliates?
Yeah.
As you choke, are you all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they dropped the Trenton Thunder like a hot potato.
Oh, God.
How dare they do that to Rookie? I love Rookie so much. The Bat Dog, he was the coolest thing. That was like my favorite day at the park when Rookie would come to get the balls on the bats.
And, you know, a Joe Vasile there. Shout outs to Joe.
Shout out, Joe.
Oh, God. Remember and that Leech. Picture that he took, you know?
Yes.
He was just so happy. It was like a boy... That just came down from right into Christmas morning, right? From running down the steps, and it's like, oh my God, what am I? I've got to do this. Like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Like, there was just the smile, the twinkle, the reaction of what was going on. I could just remember that moment. It still sticks out to me as a press box moment. Of course, we won't explain with that. But, you know, it was just so cool. I mean, yeah, it was the Trenton Thunder. And, you know, I do get that. Things are kind of changing within the minor league system.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, is it changing just because right now the dynamics between what COVID-19 has done? I mean, is this now the point where things are trying to consolidate?
I don't know.
You're right. I really don't know. And honestly, I'd like to reach out to somebody. You know, maybe we could have an episode on that maybe in the future about minor league baseball. Like, what is going on with the, I don't want to say diminishing or... you know, deletion of these teams in the system, but why? Is it all based on condensing? Is it based on scouting? I mean, I'd like to know what some of the input is. I mean, or could it be economic too? You know?
Yeah, I don't know. Those would be all valid reasons. And I just found out earlier this week, like, I'm not sure if this is news to anybody, but I also do some stats for the Wilkes-Barre's Scranton Penguins, and they're like, we're not even doing hockey until like February of next year.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And normally, doesn't hockey like start up in October?
Yep.
Zach, you're a freaking hockey fan to have. Mm-hmm.
Any word for the NHL?
Not that I've seen. I know. Okay. I know NBA is supposed to start this month, later this month. So
how about that now? NBA starts right before freaking hockey. Can you believe that?
You know what?
I don't know what their like how their season runs for NBA. I'm not a basketball fan. When do they normally run?
Actually, I haven't watched basketball a lot in the past couple of years, but I'm actually excited for my team this year, so I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna attempt to get back into it.
When does their normal season run? Is it like a summer sport
their
or
finals are usually in April, I believe.
So when do they normally start?
Probably September, October.
Oh, okay. So yeah, their season got delayed too. Okay.
Yeah, I think they start at the end of October because there's usually a couple Halloween games.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Okay.
So then we'll just have to keep our eyes peeled for hockey and baseball next year, guys.
I mean, I'm kind of excited for hockey because you know what? After the performance of what we've seen in NFL here, we're... You know, Jen, I think we talked about this too, and Zach, I want you to chime in on this as well, because I know you're a football fan and a half. You know, I just think that the practice of what the NFL has done over the season, you look at every other sport, there's no perfect slate and there's no perfect plan to eliminate and try and, you know, rid the COVID aspects. But, like, it just seems like there's so much more spike and so much more activity
disregard
going on.
Yeah.
Right. And you know what? It's kind of funny that you read these articles where it's like teams are just ridiculously and not being responsible about it.
Yeah.
I've completely
written off the NFL this year. Yeah.
I have too. And just honestly, in general. It's because of worst practice, not best practice. It's worst practice of the
Shout
guidelines.
Shout out to the Ravens.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Shout out, yeah.
And the Raiders.
Well, actually, it was kind of funny because, I mean, the Ravens really did crack down on that. I mean, they literally said, you know what? What the hell happened here? Who was behind this? What happened? I mean, yeah, they freaking, they laid the hammer down. They thwarted it, baby.
You know? For anybody that thinks I'm watching another football game this season, you're out of your mind.
Yeah,
I'm done with football. I am done with football.
NFL is rigged. I don't care what anybody says. They're all about the money.
I've been saying that
for
years. They're
all about the money. They don't care about their players. Yep. Fuck Roger Goodell.
Yep. They don't care about small market teams.
Roger Goodell.
Yep. Yeah, Roger Goodell, he's a freaking dickhead.
Suck my left nut. Fucking asshole.
Yeah. I would love if there was an opportunity for a group of people to ambush him, tie him to a chair, and say, Matt, slap this guy in the face with a freaking... Not gonna say.
Did you see what he did to Dave Portnoy from Barstool?
Yeah.
Where he bid on, like, an auction of, like, I don't know, like, watching a football game with Goodell at his house or something like that.
Yes.
And
yes.
Dave Portnoy, he won the auction because he bid the most money. Like, what was it, like... $250,000 or something, like a large amount.
Yeah, it was somewhere. It was close to $300,000. I know.
Maybe
that.
It was like $300,000. And Roger Goodell, once he found out that it was Dave that won it, he returned the check.
Right. He totally dismissed it.
Yeah, Roger Goodell, like, I
is
know
the biggest hypocrite on the planet.
I know. Like, I know they've had their, like,
commissioner of sports.
Yes, like, I know they've had their, like, differences and everything, but I was like, Jesus, you're not going to take that money for charity? I was like, that's horrible.
Right.
Like sit through a lunch with the guy, you know what I mean? Like, good Lord.
And, you know, Barstool Sports, I mean, shout out to them.
Shout out, Dave, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, listen, a lot of people love that app. I'm not saying influenced, but, I mean, there's a lot of cool things that you could find on Barstool Sports, regardless of the matter of the criteria, you know, going through a sports recap, a sports article. You know, sometimes they have some really funny stuff and cool stuff, you know, posted by some of the users that, you know, that are part of Barstool Sports and the community. But, yeah, I mean, Jen, like you said, like, how do you just dismiss, like that could have been used for charity, you know? And I think that's what the premise was. The auction of whoever would have bid it on it and paid it, it was going to charity.
Yep.
And because it was David Portnoy.
Dave Portnoy, yep. He returned it because they have beef.
Yeah, that is
like,
so garbage.
What a dick.
Yep, garbage. Fuck him.
He's
fuck
garbage.
You. Fuck you, Roger Goodell.
Love that.
Yep, so I guess, you know, we talked about the candy canes. Why don't we head into something a little bit more 3D?
A positive. Yeah. We'll go into. So for all of you early 90s, 2000 kids, we have a snack that's coming back. And like Matt said, your clue is 3D. Can anybody guess what was announced that is coming back to shelves?
Okay, I'm going to hit the timer.
Okay. We're going to do like the Jeopardy countdown.
Uh-huh.
Can I say it yet?
And go.
It is the Doritos 3D. 3D Doritos.
I am so stoked that this is coming back.
I'm
going
to
buy a life supply
of
these.
I know, right?
My God. I said, listen, if you don't bring it back in the tube, at least bring it back in a bag. And you know what? Baby, they're bringing it back in a bag.
I remember the tubes. Do you remember the tubes?
You remember the tubes?
Yeah.
Well, even here, how about this? I mean, Zach might even remember this too.
Yeah, Zach, remember do you remember these?
I feel.
You remember 3D
I feel
Doritos?
Like I've seen them, but I don't remember them.
Oh, God. Oh, like, stab right in the chest.
Like, I feel like I remember them.
No, you definitely see these because, like, they used to put them in, like, Lunchables. Yeah. They used to put them in, like, you could have bought, like, the variety pack and packed them in lunches. The schools used to sell them. Oh, damn.
Why do I see you?
And I swear, the Cool Ranch tasted different than, like, the regular Dorito did.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. There was a complete big difference of what you got out of the regular Dorito chip than the 3D Dorito Cooler Ranch.
Yeah.
I always said that. It is so cool that you brought that point up. And you know what? No, but you know what? How cool was it? Because, like, I mean, you know, these things used to be sold in, like, two different variations of tubes. Like, you could have had, like, the personal one where it was much smaller, where, okay, it could fit in a bag lunch. And then there was the big tube where
like
it kind of looked like a Pringle can.
Yeah. Yep.
And then, I don't remember. See, the funny thing is, I don't remember ever seeing it in big bags, because I never bought them in big bags. I always
think
bought the
we
tubes.
Did.
No, but I always bought the tubes, though. Because
I just
thought it
bags.
Was cool to, like,
before
you know,
they
like
went
you
away.
Just pour them out of the tube. Mm-hmm. You know,
I see Matt going to a grocery store trying to buy a life supply, and then finding out there's a limit of one on them.
If that happens, there's going to be a... You better call the cops.
A fist fight at the register. Yeah.
Like, I already have shelf space already made for this. Like, I know that in January, it's already starting to come alive, and it's going to be out there. And, you know, if it's going to be, like, the Middlesworth limitation, where it's like, okay, one bag per person because of the... where they had the limit because... You guys remember that, right? Middlesworth chips where they said people... Yeah, because they were in short supply of making the barbecue chips.
Yeah.
Oh, I would die. Those are my favorite chips.
Yeah, that goes back to like WNEP headlines. That goes back... I don't want to say national, but I mean, right around here local. I mean, yeah, there was actually a limitation where they couldn't keep up with the production because they couldn't make the barbecue chips.
Wow.
And they were having a hard time, you know, producing it, you know, coming up with the... not coming up with the spices, but like just... enough production to put out there because people were buying them and buying them and buying them up during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Wow.
Yeah. It was kind of crazy. But fuck you. If you think you're going to limit me, Dr. Doldrums, a.k.a. Maddie Serbs here.
Fuck you.
If you think you're going to limit me in buying 3D Doritos, well, guess what? You know what? I am going to fucking turn the table on you. I am going to turn it so bad it's going to be like a flip session, you know? Like, if you want to go mad on me, I'm going to go mad on you. Like, this is now where I'm going to be like, you know what? Hey, mad dog bitch ass. It is going to be hardcore. Don't you do it. I'll play you like Donkey Kong all night. I will get my 3D Doritos, and I will buy enough supplies so that I can get more in my freaking veins of sodium.
So we might have to bring out the beat tonight.
I know, right? Yeah. Good lord.
Yeah, it's already getting there. I'm feeling pretty good. But, yo, I am so excited for the 3D Doritos. My God, hail to the 90s. Here we go. We are coming back to the late 90s, early 2000 period, where that snack was a literal favorite of so many kids, so many people. I'm just so glad that they're bringing it back, Jen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So, I'm more excited about these 3D Doritos than your chocolate. So,
which I'm is just fine. Put That's it that okay. Way.
And the fucking candy canes that
we just
bought.
I just hope the chocolate doesn't suck because it was a little bit expensive.
Well, I mean, listen, you buy it from Iceland. I mean, I hope it's made from elves, you know?
From elves? Why would it be made from elves?
Because it's close. I mean, hey, it's up there in the north. I mean, you know, I mean, right?
Matt.
All
right.
Matt. Well, like, they import their beans from, like, Madagascar and, like, Nicaragua and things, like other countries, so.
So they're using, like, the legit extremities
of
ingredients.
Like the cocoa bean,
Yeah. And, you know, the cocoa bean is such a important part of the chocolate process. If you remember going back to, like, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, remember the cocoa bean was very stressed by Johnny Depp?
Yes.
You know, that is part of the chocolate process. And, you know, the Oompa Loompas, they were so indulged in the cocoa bean.
They were.
There's some pop culture reference to you guys. And you know why I just brought that up? Because I literally just watched that last night.
Oh, did you?
I did. It was on at like 3:30 in the morning while I was playing Battlefront 2. And I was trying to watch. I was trying to aim and shoot people in Battlefront 2, but also, you know, try and listen to Johnny Depp, you know, just be his Wonka bitch ass person.
You know what I started this week as like a comfort show?
Tell me.
Has anybody seen Schitt's Creek?
I've been down Schitt's Creek with the paddle.
No, but like, this is a show on Netflix. Zach, did you see it?
M-O.
By the way, real quick, I know that I just said I've been down Schitt's Creek with the paddle. I've been prepared for the worst scenarios because I know some people say, oh, I've been down Schitt's Creek without the paddle. No, I've been in Schitt's Creek with the paddle because I'm always prepared for my scenarios. There's a big difference there, people. Being prepared.
Well, anyways, you guys should watch Schitt's Creek if you want like a feel-good comedy. It's Dan and Eugene Levy, and it's just fantastic.
You know,
and Catherine O'Hara, she's the mom in the show, like the mom from Home Alone and Beetlejuice.
Yep. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, another pop culture reference is Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yes.
She voices Sally.
She does.
Actually, I think she was also credited for another character in there, too. I just don't know. It was probably something... probably the mermaid lady. I don't know. But I think she did have another credit for somebody.
Okay.
In The Nightmare.
Yes, the great Catherine O'Hara.
She is beautiful.
You guys should check that out because it's literally a hilarious feel-good show. Like, I think, like, blasphemy opinion coming up, but I think I like it more than The Office.
Well, I mean, we always liked The Office.
Of course.
You know, that's one show I think a lot of us could always go back to. And, yeah, I mean, we could always just recollect. We could relive. You know, I'm just trying to get at the fact that, like, I mean, Michael Scott, you know, I there's so many characters in that show that you could glue to. And it just, the personalities, that's what makes the show, you know?
Same with Schitt's Creek.
Yep, and, right, the way that I read about Schitt's Creek, because I never watched it. I never saw an episode. I'll be completely honest. Well, now I'll take your recommendation, because anything that you recommend is usually great.
Yeah, and that's, thank my friend Kevin. So, Kevin, if you're listening, shout out. My friend Kevin had me watch that, and it was, literally, it's one of my favorite shows now.
I just love, though, like, a show like The Office and where you could compare it to a new show like this. And didn't Schitt's Creek actually win awards?
It swept the Emmys this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, that is compelling. I mean, that's got to be, like, eye-opener where it's like, how is that not drawing attention to people? And believe me, I don't know how it's not drawn the attention for me to do it. Maybe it's just because I've been so busy with school. I mean, my God. I mean, yeah, maybe this is something that I'm going to consider and watch over the holidays.
Yeah, and, like, the episodes are only, like, I think they're, like, 23 minutes or, like, a half hour, because it was on the network Pop TV, and it's not, like, a known network, but that's where it was aired. Yeah, it's kind of
like a secondary channel. Like, you get it in a package, you know? Yeah. No, I remember that, yeah. Yeah, Pop TV. I actually think it's actually a channel listed here in Comcast.
Yeah, you know? I wasn't sure if I, like, could watch it on the TV, so I just watched it on their website. Well, for the last season, because I watched the earlier seasons on Netflix, but they're all on there now, so you could just watch it on Netflix.
Yeah, totally.
So check that out, friends.
We need to.
And I think this is probably a good time for us to take a short break.
Yeah. Do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Okay.
I do.
Yeah, I think we're gonna nestle down for a little bit. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna recoup. We're gonna refresh. And, you know, I always like to reference this point where it's like, this is the bathroom break point. Let's get waterworks going. No, seriously, guys. Let's take a break. Let's reconvene. We'll be right back. We're not going anywhere. We're waiting for you. Yes, you. We'll be right back. All right, and welcome back, Garlic Jar listeners. Here we are, the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. Yep.
Should I stop?
You know it. So we're back. We're ready to talk about our next topics on board. I'm here with Jenna. I'm here with Zach. We got the trio. We're ready to roll on, and yeah, our next topics ahead, I mean, they get a little bit more spicy and a lot bit more detailed, so I'm actually really excited about this because, you know, we're going to start with a topic that comes up with a movie that might be near and dear to a lot of people's hearts, especially in the Adam Sandler category. if anybody has been doing a little bit of their homework, get that little reference there. Little homework, little Adam Sandler, right? So we keep on coming in, and we start saying about Billy Madison. Billy Madison's actually coming up with a sequel. Two. And Jen, real quick, I know you know this movie pretty well. What can you say about it?
Veronica Mars is so hot. no, so I loved the first one. And, like, I would really hope that because, you know, Adam Sandler has, like, a Netflix deal right now with, like, movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I wonder if it would be on Netflix.
You know, I'm kind of questioning that, too, because a lot of the articles that I'm reading right now, like, people are kind of debating that. Is it going to go to Universal Productions or is it going to go to Happy Madison Productions? And we had this conversation. Because we talked about Hubie Halloween. We talked about other things, too, that Adam Sandler has put on Netflix, which I was not aware of. I didn't know he had a couple other projects on there.
He does. There's one with Jennifer Aniston. It's like a spy movie, murder mystery, I think it might be called.
Okay.
That was super good, too.
Okay.
I liked that one.
So that sounds pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. You'd probably like it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to check that out. but yeah, I mean, I think this is pretty cool because Billy Madison, I mean, I think that's one of his staple characters. Like, if you go back to it, like, a Happy Gilmore, a Mr. Staple. Deeds.
Big Daddy.
You know, I mean, Adam Sandler had a lot of great characters in a lot of different movies. And not only that, though, I mean, you go back to his SNL career. I mean, for how short it was, the guy could play a freaking character really, really well. And I think a lot of the things that he's trying to do before, you know, getting to the age where he wants to call it quits, I think he's just trying to play revival. I think he wants to try and just bring back a little bit more momentum, bring back a little bit more sensation of the older antics of an Adam Sandler comedian. And I kind of caught that in Hubie Halloween, where it was like, okay, classic Adam Sandler. You know, the reactions, the skits, the laughs, the yells, you know, just all the other antics that we kind of just combine in there. Not only that, though, I mean, the Hubie Halloween movie had a lot of reference to different Adam Sandler movies.
It did.
Like, we got back where it was O'Doyle, remember? O'Doyle Rules. Yep, so O'Doyle Rules went back to Billy Madison. You know, then we had characters that showed up where it was like Steve Buscemi, Kevin James, Tim Meadows. I mean, it kind of just, it was that combination of, like, grown-ups and Hotel Transylvania. It just seems like this big all-star cast of comedians that he wants to include, it comes back to his Happy Madison production films. And I like that. I mean, I think that's pretty cool. Not that I'm a fan of some of them. I mean, there's some that I could think that, all right, they could do without. But no, I think it's really cool. I think the Billy Madison sequel, it's really interesting because not only are we debating on where it's going to come on production, where it's Universal versus Netflix, I think it's just, you know, after so many years of Billy Madison from where it was at and where it ended, where do we pick up? You know?
Right.
And, I mean, the last point that we knew, he graduated what? High school. You remember that, Jen?
Yeah.
Zach, did you ever see Billy Madison?
Not that I remember.
Oh, my Lord. How about, like, can you remember any, like, all right, so Adam Sandler films. What movies have you seen by Adam Sandler?
I didn't really watch a lot of movies.
Okay.
I was more of a gamer growing up.
More of a gamer growing up. That's understandable. I mean, this is what makes the dynamics of our pop culture a lot more different, you know?
It does.
Yeah. And that's okay. But, you know, I mean, if you look back at the Adam Sandler vault, Billy Madison is one of those characters where we could say it's iconic. It is Adam Sandler. It screams Adam Sandler. The antics are defined because it's done by Adam Sandler. And now moving into the sequel, it's him actually, you know, years after graduating high school, he's become a teacher of his own, which is actually kind of funny because I want to see how Billy is as a teacher. Is he more of the serious or does he take the Billy Madison roles? You know, and like you were saying, Jen, Veronica, you know, right?
Yeah.
So hot. Want to touch the hiney.
There you go.
You know, and yeah, I mean, I want to know if her role is going to be reprised because we saw it in Hubie Halloween, right? Remember in Happy Gilmore? Where the female role, it was the love interest of Happy Gilmore. She came back and she played a role in Hubie Halloween.
She did.
Yep. It's kind of like if we said Drew Barrymore came back into a film. And we saw how Adam Sandler, he was in The Wedding Singer with Drew Barrymore. He was with her in 50 First Dates.
Yep.
I just like the fact that if we could reprise the role, rekindle the fire, yeah, that's pretty cool. So I'm kind of excited. I mean, as much as people are kind of bashing it right now, let's not bash it to the point. I mean, let's give it a chance because we don't know what production it's going to come into, if it's in Universal or Netflix's hands. But I think there's, I think if it goes the right route where I think it's going to go, I think we're going to get the same antics. I think we're going to get a funnier spin. It's going to be family oriented because looking at how Adam Sandler is, he's really trying to take on that role of where he wants to include all personality in all audiences to his movies and his media, you know?
Right.
So I think this Billy Madison, it's not going to be more dubbed down with the crap antics and the ridiculousness. I think we're still going to get that to a point, but it'll be funnier more now in a mature audience where he takes on the role of the teacher, where he has to take on a more serious role. And, I mean, that's what I want to see. I want to see Billy Madison actually take on that role. You know, right. not the kid by the pool and hallucinating over freaking giant penguins walking up the stairwells of his mansion.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm all about that. Kudos. Let's go. Billy Madison sequel, I'm on board. I know you are. So, where do we go next?
Next, I think that's going to bring us into one of your favorite movies.
Edward Scissorhands.
Yes.
And if we look at the name of our episode tonight, we have called it, I thought this was a shish kebab. You know, I don't know why that came up to me. I mean, we could probably think that there are so many more memorable quotes to the Edward Scissorhand movie. But I look at it this way. Edward was kind of monotoned. He was very limited. And it's not because I don't think he knew how to speak. It's just, you know, Edward was unique. Edward was different than people. And I just thought, you know, there's two moments that really stuck out to me to think about naming this episode. It was, I thought this was a shish kebab. And then lemonade. Blah! You know?
But
yeah. And Jen, I mean, I know you have seen this. Zach, have you ever seen Edward Scissorhands?
I have. A long time ago.
No, he's seen it, but a long time.
No, but we had a bet. I was betting that you didn't see it. So I owe Matt a beer.
Wow.
Sorry.
I see how you two
You know, I have a lot of...
Just because it came out in, like, 1990. And, like, did. I know you're a little younger than we are.
Yeah, but you know what,
so though? I'm like, no. I'm like, he doesn't watch the old stuff. I'm like, no. He definitely didn't see this film.
No, but it's like, it's reprised. I mean, it comes up so much in pop culture where I think a lot of audiences... It's kind of like The Nightmare Before Christmas by Tim Burton. You know? It came out in 1993, and when we were kids, Jenna, I mean, we watched that religiously because it came out on Disney VHS. It was a big Disney movie at the time, but right. Look how the popularity grew of a Tim Burton film, you know?
Right.
I mean, to mm-hmm. this day, I mean, that movie is so staple to the Tim Burton name and Disney, too. Jack Skellington, Sally, all the other characters... you know, if you go into other Tim Burton works, like Tim Burton's Batman is such a staple to the Batman films because a lot of people always think of their original Batman favorite is Michael Keaton. Beetlejuice, same way. I mean, we look at it, it's such a staple to the Tim Burton name. But that's kind of how I feel with Edward Scissorhands. I mean, it was a movie in 1990. It was so unique. It was such a different story. You know... And he ties so much of his classic entities into that film, like the love for Christmas. Tim Burton is a lover of Christmas. Tim Burton also likes the gothic element.
He does.
Yep. And Tim Burton loves the plain, plain Jane, overly awkward, simple things where, and if you think about that too, like in the story of Edward Scissorhands, if you go through like the developments where people lived, they were simple homes. They were all like of the similar nature. It was classic.
The cookie cutter yeah.
Right, you know? And I like those elements, but the big thing that stood different in his film of Edward Scissorhands was the unique part of Edward blending in with the society of people trying to relate of what he learned from his maker, the inventor, Vincent Price, which I want to give kudos to that. A lot of people probably don't know that. That Vincent Price, a huge, huge actor of horror, mystery, and suspense, he played the inventor of Edward. He created Edward. And, you know, the funny thing is, Jen, if you remember watching the movie, it's funny that we mentioned the cookie cutter aspect, right? Because in the film, remember when his... inventions were going on, they were cracking the eggs, they were rolling the dough, and it was going through an oven, and it was making cookies, and he picked up a heart-shaped sugar cookie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of his inventions on the wall was Edward in the creation, and he said, that's what I needed to do. I needed to create a heart, which I fell in love with. Edward Scissorhands is probably one of my favorite films of Tim Burton, because it's not magic. It's just, there's so much that goes into that story where it's, you know, we're creating this being, we're creating Edward, you know, to try and, you know, adapt, try and be of social, try and understand how people are, you know, let's read poetry, let's have tea time, let's walk around, let's go and trim the hedges outside.
Yeah, he started trimming hedges, yep. And then he trimmed dogs,
yep,
and then he went to, like, the lady's hair.
Yep, and it was so cool because, like, he had a gift. I don't want to say a gift, like, where it was he was talented, but, like, you know, think about, like, how people are where they have a hobby or they have an interest. You know, I think if you look at that, Edward had the human characteristics of a hobby or, you know, something that he loved to do, and it was to create. You know, it was, to, you know, cutting hair, cutting the hedges, and it came out to such beautiful, you know, masterpieces. And I thought that that was something that kind of came to the human eye, where it was like any of us that would, you know, we would bring up something where we could be good at something. Edward did the same as a human characteristic of being that artistic element, you know?
Yep.
I love this film. I really do. I'm so glad to celebrate
30th anniversary. 30
years of Edward.
Also, I'm super happy that you saw this one, Zach.
Yeah, I am too, Zach. I mean, you're Zach, welcome. I have to ask you, is there a favorite moment in that film that you like? And don't say the lemonade moment. You can't use that.
Honestly, I don't have a favorite moment. I just think it's cool that he has scissors for hands.
I think it's kind of funny that you guys mentioned that, because a lot of people that I bring that up to, it's like, you know, the memorable moments are that, for me, and I'll be honest, I mean, I'm going to be a gusher here. I love when he is carving the ice and Winona Ryder is dancing out there in the backyard. And it's just, it's compelling because there's a love interest growing between Winona Ryder's character and Johnny Depp. And here he is. He's sculpturing something.
The ice sculptures with the snow.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, I like those too.
And that music that's playing, it's just, it's beautiful. That moment right there is, that's the one that kills me all the time, where it's like, I get Edward's purpose. His final purpose.
Well, it's Danny Elfman, too.
Oh, my God. Genius. The music, right? Mm-hmm. And that's composed by him. A lot of people say that, oh, no, that was proposed, and that was made by somebody else. No, that's Danny Elfman's work. I think that's one of his most beautiful works. And a lot of people have used that in ballet over time. A lot of people have used that in dance. And I just, there's that romance moment where, and I'm going to end this at this. The beautiful part about Edward Scissorhands is that at the end of the movie, we start to see Edward develop love. Love interest for someone else. And that's Winona Ryder's character. And I think that that moment where she's dancing in the snow, dancing in the ice sculpture, you know, that's his angel. That's his love, you know? And there's so much significance where we could go back to that. And hence why, at the end of the movie, where Winona Ryder's like a freaking 70 or an 80-year-old woman, she's telling a story to her grandchild laying in the bed. She literally mentions that as one of her most beautiful moments in life, where I could still see him standing in the snow. I love it. It's Edward Scissorhands is, it's not only quirky, it has its funny parts, but it's a beautiful story. It really is.
Good job. Yeah. That was a nice explanation.
So yeah, Jen, I'm going to let you go into the next topic. I want Zach to really elaborate on this because...
Yeah, I was going to say, so our next discussion is Metal Gear Solid, but I've never played it. So I have zero opinions.
I've played it. It's been a while since I played it, so I actually have to replay it again, but it's on my top three for PlayStation games.
Okay.
So,
and great. I think great the game. Funny thing is, Zach, Jenna and I, we were actually having a conversation about this, like, what was, maybe a day before? Mm-hmm. We kind of referenced where, you know, Metal Gear Solid, it falls into a heavy category of the PlayStation family. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's one point, yeah, definitely. I mean, if there's one point where people remember buying PlayStation, the original OG gray system with two buttons on the left and the right, and that big console that will lift up in the middle.
Yeah, I had that
one. I did too. Remember the Crash Bandicoot days?
Yeah, see, like, that's the stuff. Like, what I like to say is, like, I didn't get to play, like, cool games until I was, like, older. Yeah.
Well, so. I agree with you, because I didn't get to play cooler games until I was older, too. But the only way I know about these games was because I used to watch my brothers play them. And I used to sit in the room with them, and it used to just shock and awe me. Like, I mean, I found that more entertaining than actually playing the game, just watching them play it, you know? Like, the fact that my brother would take the character and put him underneath a cardboard box and sneak around a corner, and then all of a sudden, he choked the shit out of the goddamn guy, you know? Classic Metal Gear Solid moment, by the way. And I hope that that comes into something that we talk about with the film. But yeah, Metal Gear Solid, it's a staple. It's a huge, huge, huge name in PlayStation. Forever will it take tail to the gaming world of the PlayStation world.
One that should get a remake, I should add.
Okay, so that's a good point. I mean, do you think it should get a remake right now with PlayStation 5 coming out?
Yes.
Interesting.
Better graphics. Yeah. Yes.
It might happen. Absolutely. It might happen. And, you know, you got to remember, I mean, that was a multiple disc game back in the day where if you finished one disc, you had to put the next one in to complete the game. I want to say it was either three or a four disc game. But nowadays, I mean, you'll fit it on one disc or a digital download.
You can. Oh, you definitely.
Know? Yeah, it's kind of interesting. That's just one game that really hits the heart in PlayStation.
And why we're talking about it is because it's going to be made into a movie, I take?
It is. Yeah. It's been reported.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And we have a casting update for that, right?
We did. We found out that, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but we found out that Oscar Isaac,
you
guys know who he is, right? He's Poe from Star Wars. Poe is going to take on the role of Snake, Solid Snake, I should say. Solid Snake in Metal Gear Solid, the movie. And I think this has been a long wait because a lot of people have talked about, you know, I remember there was talks about a lot of anime corporations, a lot of people that made the anime cartoons, you know, they would have took on, you know, the project of, you know, trying to make a Metal Gear Solid cartoon or a Metal Gear animated film. But I think this is coming now into live action. And I love the choice of character here. I loved Oscar Isaac in the Star Wars franchise there from episodes 7 through 9.
He was one of the better characters.
I was just gonna say
movies.
I 100% agree with that. Poe was especially one of my favorites because he had the connection to BB-8, and BB-8 became a love of mine, you know. New droid, new love. It's kind of like the R2-D2 sense. Like, if you go back to, like, Star Wars fans where they loved R2-D2 as a droid character and they had such an ambition to him, it was kind of like the new modern flavor now is anybody that would rejoin into the Star Wars era, they're going to love BB-8, you know? And that's your new...
I have the Lego version of him.
That's the new R2-D2, in my sense. But I think Poe was one of the better characters. I agree with you 100%. Jen, what do you think?
Yeah, I liked Poe. Yeah.
Okay.
You can never replace R2.
You can never replace him. Absolutely not. He's a granddaddy. He's a granddaddy of the droid arts. Now, C-3PO, I think we could replace him.
R2 was the true general of the droid army.
Yeah, he was. Hey, episode 1. Who was in the Naboo Starfighter? Who went to fight the Trade Federation? The very start of Galactic Battle. R2-D2. The protocol droid. Anakin in that cockpit. I mean, yeah. Man, so, yep. Man, that was a good point. Great point, Zach. See, I told you I wasn't going to get too shit-faced.
Oh, God.
I'm keeping the composure. I'm keeping it alive.
Well, I'm sweeping the broom here, so we're moving right on to our next section here. So I'm going to give you guys a little tour about HBO Max. So for those of you who haven't, I don't know, purchased HBO Max yet or really learned anything about it, it is probably one of my favorite streaming services right now. Recently, like I've talked about on this podcast many times, how like Teen Titans is like my favorite DC storyline, I guess. And finally, because HBO Max is now going to be the like home base for like DC Comics, they finally added Titans to HBO Max, so I was able to binge that a couple weeks ago and pleasantly surprised. It was wonderful. Everybody should watch it. But HBO Max, or just HBO in general, because if you sign up for HBO, I think it's HBO Now, you get Max, not for free, but it just comes included with the package. So if I give you a little micro tour here, HBO Max is the Warner Brothers media. So they have quite a few, I don't know, subsidiaries that they own. And so DC is one of them. Cartoon Network is another. Sesame Street. Adult Swim. There's Looney Tunes, some Turner Classic Movies. Like, it's a giant umbrella. So there's literally something for everyone on this streaming platform. And they recently keep adding like new original shows, and they're all just fantastic. Every single one of them.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend getting HBO Max. And recently this week in the news, it was announced that for 2021, I'm not sure if it's going to go past 2021 or not, this decision, but so far, all of the Warner Brothers films in 2021 will be released in theaters and on HBO Max the same day.
Okay, Jen, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Based on this article that came out, okay, so if you own HBO Max, are you going to have to pay anything additional to see those movies?
No. No, it's not like Disney, like where they made you pay...
$30 for...
What, like 25 bucks... 30 bucks, that's right. 30 bucks for Mulan. No, it just pops up and you can watch it.
All right. No, I...
Like, they're saying that it won't be on HBO Max forever. It'll just be for a limited time, but... Just make sure you watch it. And then also, apparently, like, if you think that you're going to be able to watch Wonder Woman with a free 7-day trial, apparently they're not going to let you do that. It's just for paid subscriptions.
That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so rather than me ramble, because I don't want to be talking that much anymore. I mean, it seems like... No, I'm dead serious. You guys... Especially you, Jenna, you have more knowledge on the streaming platforms than a lot of others. I mean, you have to remember, you're the one that got me into streaming. If it wasn't for you and Washkush...
I demanded.
Yeah, I mean, I literally... Like, you used the Jedi mind trick on me. It's like, you will watch Netflix. You know, you...
And, like, I feel that, like, there's so many... awesome, like, just even like original shows from like HBO. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's literally something for everybody. There's like true crime, there's comedy, there's, you know,
comedy,
there's like stand-up. Yep. Yeah, there's true crime, there's like fiction. There's literally, you can find something for everyone. And it is, like, the writing on every show, like, everything is fantastic, literally, except, like, the last two seasons on Game of Thrones. that would be, like, the only thing I would be, like, upset about. Which also, like, apparently people are still upset over how The Sopranos ended.
Yeah.
I can understand that. So, yeah, like, I feel like those two endings, but everything else is great.
Well, you know, I think The Sopranos deserved a better sign-off.
Yeah.
Especially for how long the show went. You know, it was one of those dead... And I understand. I mean, I'm trying to think. Like, the main character, I can't think of the actor's name for The Sopranos. But I think, did he die before or did he die after the filming?
After.
He died after.
Yeah, when they were in talks to do a movie.
That's what I was trying to get to. Because I think, were they trying to cut the show off at that point where they were trying to build up to a movie? That's my only thing.
I think they revisited the movie idea later down the road.
I mean, I really think that it would have been interesting to have the movie. I mean, obviously now...
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously now, it's kind of hard because... With his pet.
You can't.
Yeah,
I wouldn't see it because James Gandolfini isn't in it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't replace... to me, I don't think you could replace that role. I mean, you could find a lookalike, but it's just not gonna... It's not gonna hit home, you know? I mean, he was a mm-hmm. very talented actor, and if anybody remembers his roles in movies, he played really good roles, too. I mean, look at Taking Pelham 1-2-3, the remake.
Mm-hmm.
The new one with Denzel Washington. He played the mayor so well in that role. You know? Yeah. That's just a hard character to replace. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, so HBO has a whole bunch of originals, and like a bunch of them have won awards, like if anybody's seen Barry.
Never saw that one.
It's funny. He's like a hitman assassin. Okay. It's I can't remember the guy's name, but he's a stand-up comic and I enjoy him. Eastbound and Down, The Righteous Gemstones, anything that has Danny McBride usually shows up here on HBO Max. He's fantastic. Entourage is a classic, you know? Like I feel like there's literally something for everybody.
And I'm sure you get like Bill Maurer, his show, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably up there. Bill Maurer's been around. He's been doing his talk show for a very long time. And it's been contracted through HBO. I like Bill Maurer. Bill Maurer's pretty good. He's pretty, he's like hammer and nails, you know? It is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, the one thing how about Tales from the Crypt? Is that on there too, or? Because I remember HBO had a rendition of their own. Make on that. Used to be the creep. I mean, everybody would know that Tales from the Crypt kind of got the origination from Creepshow. And if you remember me talking about this in a previous episode, Creepshow was based off comics. Creepshow went to AMC. But Creepshow actually had an origination.
I think AMC has those.
Okay.
No, there's nothing.
Nothing
on
from
there.
Tales from the Crypt?
No.
Okay, because I know HBO used to have their own rendition of a show of that.
Okay.
So it probably is affiliated with different production. And again, like what you just said, it's probably on different streaming.
Yeah, Succession is also super good.
How about Weeds?
Coming back.
Is Weeds on there?
What? No, that's...
That was Stars, right?
Stars, okay. Yeah. Succession, that's like modern day Game of Thrones power struggle in like a prominent family in New York. That one's fantastic too. Like literally, I don't think I've... seen something that I was like, oh god, this is horrible.
Well, one show that I would recommend people to watch if they really want to get into something that kind of started way back in the day and kind of went a long way into the years was Oz.
Yeah.
Oz was a really good show. Mm-hmm. If you could get past some of the viewer discretion, because it did. It had its disturbing parts. I'm not going to go into detail of it, but Jen, you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
But it was very vivid. Oz was a great show, but very vivid in points. But I do love that HBO Max. You got me into that. Thank you for giving me your login there.
No problem.
But yeah, I mean...
Yeah, because I demanded that you watched a new series.
And I think that's where we're going to turn right now, right?
Yes. Okay. So I saw, like, you know, the buzz on social media about this show, and I'm like, all right, I'll check it out. So we just recently watched The Undoing.
Zach, by the way, this is a show that I think you should watch. It's only six episodes. Okay. Yeah, I think this is something...
I'm not sure if it's up your alley, but it was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it just, it's got a great storyline to it.
Yes. So, spoiler alerts, if you have not seen The Undoing, apologies if you plan on watching it. You can just hit pause right now and come back to this episode at some point. But, I'm not going to go into, like, full details, but I am going to describe a little bit of the roller coaster ride that it takes you on.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that, because for a show that's only six episodes, it's going to have you think so much.
It's quick, yeah. It, when you're on that roller coaster ride and you get, like, the quick turns and the upside down, like, that's literally how you feel in these, like, what, like, 6 hours, let's say, because they're close to an hour.
Yeah, but, I mean, even if any of us think of this, like, a situation where it's like, okay, we know it's about a murder, and that first episode, it introduces us to the announcement of somebody was murdered, and... You know, I think it's that right there. It kind of takes us into the point where it's like, oh my God. Like, did you hear this? Did you hear that? Like, Jen, I'm not going to lie to you. You know what kind of remind me of? Towards the end of that first episode, when we first heard that it was there was a murder.
Yeah.
That kind of played back to me where, and Zach, you could probably, because I know that you said you saw Scream. It was like the murdering of Casey Beckett, the next day, going back to school, the high schoolers were going, they were walking down the sidewalks, getting over there to the Woodbridge High School, and they're like, oh my God, did you hear? And here's Sidney Prescott. No, what? And, you know, here's Rose McGowan's character. I forget what her name was in the film. She's kind of explaining it like, yeah, like, oh my God, Casey Beckett was murdered last night with her boyfriend, Steve. And it's one of those situations where everybody's now gossiping, where it's like, oh my God, shut up.
Yeah, so you, like, know? Fast forward, like, to, like, present day, where it's like texting and phone calls and, oh wait, now I gotta go tell Sally.
Yes.
And, oh, let me call you right back. Yeah.
And Zach, I think you could vouch for that, where it's like a situation like that, where it's going back into past, like anything like that, the nature, right? I mean, how people talk and topics like this, it just grows into the public eye, you know?
It does.
Yeah. So, like, I saw everybody buzzing about it on social media. I'm like, all right, I'll just, like, check it out. So, like, I didn't really have any, like, expectations, but then, like, I knew nothing about the show. Like, I just remember, like, HBO, like, promoting it when, Nicole Kidman was doing... she decided she was going to do this after Big Little Lies. It's a heavy cast list here. Like, some of the main characters are Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant, Lily Rabe shows up, and, Donald Sutherland.
Yeah. How about that?
So, like, you got some, like, heavy hitters.
Yep.
And, like, so the first episode, like, you turn it on and it's all about, like, it kind of, like, starts with, like, you know, like, upscale Manhattan, you know, rich people, and they're, like, fundraising for, like, the school. So I'm like, I don't know if this is really, like, my vibe. But then all of a sudden, like, you know, like, bam, there's a murder, and now we're watching with, like, how these people deal with it. Essentially.
Agree.
And, like, there's so many, like, twists and turns. Like, you literally just don't know which way is up. Because, like, as the episodes progress, like, the story unfolds. And, like, a piece will open up here. And you're like, well, wait a second. Then another piece will open. You're like, but, well, maybe. There's, like, four, like, I would say, like, four big, like, twists and turns that you, like, completely think it's like four different people.
You know what this kind of reminded me of? I'll be honest with you. Because because watching the episodes, I told you I was going to binge watch this. And I did. Yeah. I literally caught like four episodes up till 5:30. And then I finished the other two just today. Before we had the podcast. It kind of reminds me going back to like, if you remember a movie or a book called The Bone Collector.
Oh, I do, yes.
Oh my God, what a roller coaster of events that were a police officer and an
Denzel, Angelina, and did you know that they made that into a TV series?
I never knew that.
Oh yeah, there was a TV series on, I don't remember what network it was, but it was last year, and they canceled it.
Why?
Because I guess it didn't get enough views, but like, it was different, like they kind of like...
the movie did so well.
Right, so like, but the series wasn't, it was based off of the characters from the movie, and like, so like Lincoln and the girl, and they like solved like different mysteries.
I think her name was Hartley,
and cases,
right?
Each episode. Her Hart? I don't remember what her name was. So yeah, there was actually a TV series.
Wow.
And then they canceled it, and they of course like left it on like a cliffhanger, and I'm like, oh, that's great. So we'll never know.
Well, kind of comparing that, where it's like, I'm just kind of making the comparison where it was a roller coaster of events where they were trying to solve something, and then something new would come back up. It wasn't just based off the clues and, you know, obviously the investigation part.
The evidence.
Right, and the evidence.
Yeah, I like how they showed some of the trials,
right,
too.
Right. And I think a show like this, like what you just introduced me into, it's the same. It's the same notion. I mean, you're going through roller coaster of events trying to find out what is happening just in six episodes. You know?
Yeah, and like you keep going and it like builds and builds, so like each episode is crazier than the last until you find out what happened and how it happened and like the events leading up to what happened.
Okay, so let's put it this way. We've seen it and we know that people are listening to this episode.
Yeah.
What did it come down to? What was the final conclusion?
I loved it. I would watch this again.
Do we want to reveal anything? Do we want to say?
No, like, I don't really think I want to, because I feel like a lot of people just took advantage of, like, the free HBO weekend. So maybe not everybody got to see all six episodes. Okay. But, like, if I can push you guys to get HBO Max, like, you won't regret it. Like, I know it's, like, a big ticket because it's, like, $15 a month, but... like, for HBO's writing, I feel like it's worth it.
Well, I know that you got me attracted to it.
Yep.
And, do you mind if I say something?
Sure.
Because I loved talking about this with you. Before our technical difficulties happened, before the episode, I made it important to go back to, what we were talking about. Because I remember you were saying, wait, Matt, did you really watch it? Like, do you know what's going on?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I did watch it, but...
because, like, you, like, zoomed in on,
I think,
like,
I was zoomed in more on
one
thing.
Character.
Right.
Yeah.
And what happened was, I didn't expect the outcome to come out to what it was.
See, I did. I pinned it right from the beginning. It just didn't feel right to me.
Okay.
Just didn't feel right.
And to me, I was thinking elsewhere outside the box. You know, kind of thinking...
Yeah, you did.
I did. I'm not going to tell you what my idea was, because if we're not going to deliver spoilers, and we don't want to say that, it would just kind of generate an idea where it's unnecessary, because it's not going to pan out, you know?
Yeah.
But I was glued to it. I mean, I looked at it where it was like, each and every episode, it got more climatic, it got more definitive, where it was like, oh my God. Like, what is going on? We only have so much information to go by, but as later as it progressed, we found out the more and more and more and more that it flowed through. Explanation came through, and it literally pointed out, you know, to our concluding point. I Jen, I have to say, And Zach, you were in the chat with us when we were talking about this. You know, Jenna is really good for being that. I literally coin her as the term for our streaming guru. She is our streaming affiliate for Garlic Jar. If she has a series to recommend for people, listen to her and listen to what she's interested in. Because everything that I have paid attention to and everything that I have streamed, you have never steered in the wrong direction. It has been great. And this is probably one that I would say in top three. And I'll give you my top three. The top three streaming was Stranger Things at the very beginning with Washkush. Number two, I would definitely have to say it would be... I do like The Umbrella Academy. I do. I really, yep, really do. I like one. It better than The Boys. I'm sorry to say that. I know that...
That's yep. Okay. You can.
I do like The Umbrella Academy. And then number three would be this show right here on HBO Max, The Undoing. This is like, this is killer. And yeah, literally, you know, just fantastic. And I tried explaining this to my wife and she was like, she couldn't follow with it. I just don't think she could take interest to it just because maybe at the point she was so tired, but I think she's more interested in different topics. But this was so crime, mystery, suspense. It just had a lot to go over. I mean, there was so much to digest, you know? If you got past the third or the fourth episode, all you kept on thinking was, what the hell is going on?
See, I thought that at the end of the first episode. And, like, I feel like it would have been agony to wait, like, a whole week in between each episode. So, like, I'm glad that I just, like, binged it
Did they release The Undoing? Week by week, or was it just...
Okay. Yeah. No, week by week. Yeah, it just ended... I don't know if it was this past weekend or the weekend before.
Because I didn't know if they... I don't know how HBO Max works. I don't know if they just put up the series and they say, okay, hey, this show is up. Watch it. All the episodes are here. I mean, we go back to... go ahead.
They do it half and half. So, like, some things... Like, I'm also... I started The Flight Attendant with Hayley Cuoco.
That's what... Yeah.
Which is, like... a flight attendant in Murder. So that one's pretty interesting too. But for the premiere, they put the first three episodes and now it's just one a week.
I got you.
So it's like, here, watch these to get addicted and then continue watching them one at a time. And I think
that's one that I'm gonna glue to. I like the fact that people are kind of referencing it that it's got more of a comical sense to it. Yeah.
Yeah, I like her. Yeah.
And I like her because she was in The Big Bang Theory, you know?
Yeah.
So
she was good in that.
Anything else? I mean, do we have any other topics to go through?
Yeah, I just have to mention one thing because, you know, we've been talking about Mads Mikkelsen for a couple weeks now. And he is promoting one of his new films. It's called Another Round. And, like, apparently people keep asking him how he's gonna, like, handle Grindelwald because he was officially cast as Grindelwald in Fantastic Beasts. And I have so much faith in this man. Like, it's ridiculous. So, like, while I did like the Johnny Depp rendition, I thought there was, like, some issues. And I feel like Mads can fix them because he plays such a good, charismatic villain, if anybody's seen Hannibal. So when he was asked, like, you know, like, what's your take on, like, being recast? And he said that they're still trying to, like, work out how he's gonna, like, you know, do his thing, but there has to be, like, he's very adamant that there has to be a bridge between the two characters, but he also has to, like, make it his own, so they're gonna try and, like, link them together so it's not, like, completely, like, detached from one versus the other, which I think is really good.
Okay.
So, I'm excited for that.
No, Jen... It's kind of funny that you mention that because you have been so mean, you've been so directive about this. I mean, you mentioned that as one of your, you know, your primary, your primary choices, that after Johnny Depp, after the resignation of completing Fantastic Beasts, he came up as one of your top choices.
He did,
and yes. I love that, because here he is, here and now.
Here he is, signed the paperwork, I'll tell you what, getting paid, ready to go.
I love the choice. I really think, I think he's going to do better than Johnny. I really do.
I hope so, because we haven't... So my whole thing was, like, I know that Grindelwald was just this, like, charismatic, like, all right, well, I'm just going to collect some followers and take them along for the ride. But I didn't feel really any sense of, like, manipulative villain out of his version of Grindelwald. At least, that's my opinion. So, like, I really feel like Mads can hit this one out of
the
park.
Jen, I look at it this way. You know, if we go back to the Harry Potter books, you know, we don't hear too much of Grindelwald. No,
but I feel like we hear enough.
No, I don't think we... That's what I'm saying. I don't think we hear too much of him. And to me, I think this is early days Voldemort. You know?
Well, so here's
because
the
we
thing.
Always hear
so
of Voldemort. Like, we always do.
Yes. Well, he was an influence in Voldemort's life.
Right.
So, like, that much we know. But, like, there's a way that, like, when Dumbledore talks about him, that I just feel like Johnny Depp's rendition, like, wasn't crossing the finish line for me.
There wasn't enough passion behind the character.
Well, not even, like, passion. It's just that, like, he... I feel like in the two movies that we saw, it was hard to dislike Grindelwald, even though we know who he is and what happens to him. So, like, I feel like, and a lot of, like, he's kind of like, I don't want to make this analogy, but, like, he's kind of like Hitler, where, like, a lot of people, like, agreed with him and, like, went along with his, like,
his beliefs.
Teachings, yeah, until it got, like, batshit crazy. And I feel like we're still in the way early game of that saga, because we haven't really seen any, like, true villain come out of Grindelwald
yet.
Yeah,
but you know what, though? I think of that, though. I mean, before Voldemort, you had Grindelwald. You know?
Yes.
And even though that it wasn't severe, I mean, let's put it this way. Let's paint the picture. Voldemort was a horrific and temperamental picture to the Harry Potter films and books.
Yes.
I mean, this is something that somebody feared. They did not want the Dark Lord to return. But before the Dark Lord even got his point and got his existence, you had Grindelwald.
To create the foundation,
right. And I think
yes.
Grindelwald, that's right. I think he built the foundation to it.
But I don't think we have seen...
The extremity?
Like, the... Yes, like the extreme or, like, the villain part of him yet.
Okay. Zach, any...
Like, I just feel like I'm lacking
Zach,
a
any thoughts? Because I know you've seen Fantastic Beasts. I know you've seen Harry Potter movies.
I've seen the Harry Potter movies. I haven't seen Fantastic Beasts yet. I'm working on it, though.
Okay.
Slowly going down my list.
Okay.
I just think there's connection there. I think there's a lot of, I mean, it's interesting. I'm just going to put it at that point. I mean, the next movie that comes out for Fantastic Beasts, I think it's pretty evident that we're going to see Jude Law reprise the role of Albus Dumbledore.
Oh, yes.
And I think
it's still in pre-production because of COVID, but they were ready to start filming until...
Yeah, but I think that's the point, the though. We want to see Jude Law, the young Albus Dumbledore, go against the young version of Grindelwald.
I don't think we will.
You don't
will.
Think so?
Not until, like, the very last film. I don't think so.
I mean, we know Grindelwald went to Azkaban. Because Voldemort consulted with Grindelwald about the Elder Wand.
Correct, about the wand. Yes. So what I think is going to happen, now this is just speculation, please, of course, is that, like, Newt, like, you know, Dumbledore is, like, all about sending Newt to do this because, like, you know, because they had that pact that they couldn't harm each other. So, like, I think they're going to work towards breaking that pact, and then I feel like Dumbledore is going to come in for, like, the final boss fight.
So the final film.
I think. Unless they try to do, like, a little fight and it doesn't, like, pan out. I don't know.
I just feel that Albus Dumbledore...
He's going to be the heavy hitter at the end.
I think he could be the heavy hitter at the end, but I think it's good. I think it's going to be based on love interest.
I think the
love interest will, you know, it'll conflict with Grindelwald. Because we do know that there was a love interest between Dumbledore and Grindelwald.
Yes.
We do. We already know. And you know what? If anybody has anything against that, fuck you. That makes it more of a beautiful situation. It makes it more of a beautiful story. Okay? So, screw you if you have any opposition to it. But I think that that story, because of a love interest, and you know what? The reason I say this, Jen, is because we've seen love conquer evil in Harry Potter. With Harry defeating Voldemort.
Multiple times.
Love and the power of light. It has defeated, and it was the weakness, the true weakness, of Lord Voldemort. I think that comes to Grindelwald.
We know he ends up in Azkaban. We do. So, like, obviously...
And I think it's going to be based on love.
He gets defeated.
I think there's going to be a point where you can't defeat love. Love might conquer it. And that might be the seclusion, where it's like, listen, that might be my serenity, and that might be my point of the only way to be defeated is that Grindelwald comes face to face with that. I mean...
See, like, I just feel like Dumbledore is going to put his feelings aside and take him down like a champ. That's what I think is going to happen. That's what I'd like to see happen, is just Jude Law go, like, apeshit crazy in the, like, Dumbledore role and just... Yes! But, like, with magic, of course. Yes. I just...
So you think it's going to be an anger out of
in
love.
Every aspect.
For what... For,
not anger.
So for what you
I just
did
think
to me,
that he's going
to
put his... No, okay. I think he's just going to put his feelings for Grindelwald aside and do what's best for the greater good of wizard kind. Because remember, Grindelwald's whole, like, message is to have wizards on top of muggles or the non-wizard people. So, like, he's not a good guy.
No, he definitely is not.
He's not a good guy.
And that's why I kind of make the reference that this is pre-Voldemort.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. So, like, to me, this would be, like, Hitler in real life, you know what I mean? So, like, he needs to be stopped, and I think that Dumbledore and Newt and their band of friends are going to be the ones to take him down.
How ironic is that the time period that this is going on? I mean, this is not going on in 1980s, 1990s, 2000s.
No. This is earlier, and I love a good period piece.
Right, this is going back in historic times, maybe World War II times. 1940s, 1950s, 1960s.
And the guy that plays, I think it's earlier than that. It's like Flapper age, so isn't that like the 20s?
Yeah, it might even date, it might even date back earlier than that. But if you're looking back at the whole Hitler reference, it's fitting up to that point where it's like, is this the Hitler version of the wizardly world?
Yeah, you know? I just looked it up, and it's like 1926, 1927.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense to exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I do love the casting.
And, like, the guy that plays Jacob, he gave a spoiler, and they're going to film in Brazil for season 3. I mean, not season 3.
Movie 3.
Season 3. I got TV on the brain,
I know,
brain,
because
guys.
Watching HBO Max, Netflix, I get it. Yeah. I get it. Jen.
Yeah, so for movie 3, they're going to Brazil.
Jen, you are without a doubt. I mean, I got to get you a trophy or something. You are the guru of streaming here. You literally are. You could distinguish that between, you know your points of knowing what's going on in the streaming points, streaming world, streaming shows, and then going into movie connection. I mean, you're all about cinema and you're all about streaming. I believe that 100%.
I do enjoy those things. I love
that because that makes us unique here at the Garlic Jar Podcast Show, everybody. You know, I mean,
we like to be relatable, folks.
Got it.
And to think, Jenna, he would be saying the same exact thing to me, just with in reference to gaming, if he actually played the game I've been recommending him to play for the past 2 months.
Is it called Zero Horizon Dawn?
No, I think it's called Horizon Zero.
So it's close. It's close. Yeah.
Is it something close I can enough. Get on Xbox, though?
PS. PlayStation or PC on
Steam. We're working on the PC part, buddy.
Yeah, you gotta get a new computer first, friend. Sir.
Yes, ma'am. But yeah, I think, you know what? We're at the point of the night where we're coming down to the end.
The curtain's coming down.
And you know what? This is the point where we have to ask, for the good of the group, do we have anything else to share? Do we have anything else that we could put forward? Anything else, if anybody in pop culture, do we have anything to share?
I don't. Zach?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah.
I have nothing. So at that point, I would love to just conclude and say, listen, thank you, everybody, for listening to us. We are doing what we can, and we go over our topics. We love what we're doing every week. We really do.
I do.
And you know what? This is our time. This is our time to shine. Baby, it's our time to shine. No, really. It's our time to shine. We love it. We enjoy it. We know that you guys are downloading it. We know that some of you guys are playing it, too. But you know what, though? We have nothing more to tell you but thanks. And thank you for the downloads. Thank you for the plays. Thank you for the mobile plays and the page visits. This has been fantastic. And you know what? If it's 300, 400 downloads every week, you know what? I am so stoked about that. Thank you so much. Thank you. So, Jen, I'm going to leave this to you. Please, could you close this out?
I can. All right, everybody. So stay tuned next week for the beginning of our Christmas. We have two Christmas episodes coming up for you this month. Next week, we are going to do just a little taste. We're going to do a taste test of a cookie swap. I'm going to make a cookie. Matt and his wife are going to make a cookie. And then we are going to swap them. And we are going to taste them live on air. And we're going to be talking about some Christmas things next week. And Matt's wife, Lauren, is going to be a guest with us.
She will be.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Should we announce what she's going to be talking about?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, Mrs. Serba is going to be... I love saying that.
Otherwise known as Lauren. She has a first name
you
as
know
well.
What? You know, I am proud of saying that because Mrs. Serba, my guy, I love her. She is going to be talking about those Hallmark movies that everybody indulges and loves to watch during those time periods.
You mean the same ones that play every year?
Yes.
She's going to be talking about her favorites, and she's going to rank them, and she's going to explain what she loves about them. So, we're going to be talking about the Hallmark movies. We're going to get into the preliminary talks of our Christmas episodes. And you know what? That's going to build up to the excitements of candy cane taste experiments and the whole nine yards.
Absolutely. So stay tuned, and we're going to announce our giveaway stuff next week. We'll announce it on the episode and all of our social media outlets. So hang in there with us, guys. We got some exciting things coming up for you in December to close out this horrible, horrible year. So, all right, everybody. That's going to be it for tonight, and we will see you, we will talk to you, I should say, next week.
Indeed, we will.